Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Daryl, all right. Best win since the Bengals in 14?
Oh, easily. Absolutely.
Although, we're still waiting for the Browns to win a road game since 14.
We are.
A winning streak since 14. And this we don't know the answer to yet, but to beat a team, when they beat that Bengals team did go to the playoffs in 14. That's the last team they beat that went to the playoffs. I don't think the Ravens are going to the playoffs this year. I don't think the Falcons are going to the playoffs this year.
Texans both, might.
Right. Can they? The Texans will and the Panthers will. Bengals maybe. That's the question. Can they beat those? But we don't know. If the Browns beat the Bengals, then the Bengals probably won't go to the playoffs either. So, I mean, that last AFC spot is still kind of up for grabs because there's really only four good teams in the AFC.
Yeah. It's very top-heavy conference.
Yeah. So, like, the, you know, in theory, the sixth seed in the AFC could end up an 8-8 team.
Well, and that's why mathematically people all of a sudden after yesterday's win saying, oh, the Browns are in the hunt. The bottom
line. They're not in the hunt.
They really aren't.
No.
The reality is they have to win out. They can't lose another game.
But they're not going to win out. That's not realistic.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
And they're going to lose more than two games. I don't think.
I mean, in theory, they could finish 8-7-1 and make the playoffs potentially the way AFC's going. But what are the odds they're only going to lose one game the rest of the year?
I mean, if they win their next two games and get to 5-6-1. Then I'll start entertaining the in-the-hunt conversation.
Yes, I agree with you.
Not right now.
Win your next two, and then we can...
too early.
Like I said before, only the Raiders are more than a half game behind the Browns in the standings in the AFC. You can't be in the hunt 10 weeks in when only one team is more than a half game behind you. So I agree with you. If they go to Cincinnati and Houston and win back-to-back games, then we can have an in-the-hunt conversation.
And you know what that'd be called? A winning streak.
Yes, indeed, it would be.
By the way, last time they won three straight, 2014.
That's right. Well, that Bengals win was their third in a row.
Yeah.
And then they lost the next week to I don't remember who, and then they beat Atlanta.
And they went to Atlanta and they won.
Yeah, and then that
and
was
then
it.
The roof caved in.
Right.
Off the cliff they went, and to football hell we went. Yeah. We landed.
We've been.
So.
Yeah.
What was the most impressive thing to you, Daryl, about yesterday's game?
Baker. Been waiting for that type of game from him. And I say that realizing he didn't go out there and throw for 500 yards or throw it 50 times and complete 40 of the 50 passes. But he was efficient. He was on target. He managed the clock. At no point in the second half, once they went up 21-10, did I really feel nervous about that game, which is completely...
21-10 or 28-10?
When they went up 21-10.
Oh, you
after,
were...
After they scored, when they got the fumble recovery, they went down and they scored off of that turnover.
I'm surprised you felt that way.
I felt
at 28-10,
I felt pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
And I didn't get nervous. And then, obviously, Nick Chubb goes ahead and rips off just your average 92-yard touchdown run that we see every other week here.
It's a good thing we were playing Carlos Hyde early in the year.
I know, exactly.
Plodding along.
I really, really was impressed. And Freddie Kitchens, too. I mean, let's face it. The Browns have nothing to lose at this point. If they lose a game, it's not a big deal.
They're coaching loose. They're playing loose.
Yeah, and that's the way they should approach this.
Yeah.
If they lose, so what? Everyone expects them to lose, okay? If they win, it's fantastic, and they're in a position where they can do that now. Unfortunately, they blew so many opportunities early in the season to be in position where we could be here on November 12th going over playoff scenarios and what it's going to take for them to finish strong down the stretch to stay in the playoff hunt and ultimately win one of those spots. But what's done is done, and now they can just play fast and loose and just leave it all out on the field. And I thought Greg Williams' message last week to Baker through the media was so on point when he said, just cut it loose. We're not going to bench you. You're our guy. We got your back. Just go out there and play. The way you've played your entire life, just go out there and do it. And I think we saw that yesterday,
Dustin. How much credit does Greg Williams get here for this?
I think he deserves credit. I think Freddie Kitchens deserves credit as well. Mm-hmm. You know, Williams, and we talked about this when Hugh was fired and Williams was named the interim coach. And I told you guys the primary reason behind it, aside from the fact that they really didn't have anyone else on staff, was Greg Williams is a very good motivator. Okay. You know, one of the things, you know, a lot of people will criticize him for is, you know, he's full of hot air and he's just very charismatic with the way he uses certain vocabulary and people love him for that or whatever. But I see, like, we're already seeing these last 2 weeks a different side of Greg Williams. We're seeing the more measured, serious, less cartoonish or caricature style coach in Greg Williams. And that's a good thing for him. You know, all these guys, let's be honest about it, I think they all expect that they're going to get blown out at the end of the year. So sure. Right now, they're all auditioning for jobs as well. Because Freddie Kitchens, mm-hmm. he could work himself into a coordinator job next year.
He certainly could. And I liked, you know, listen, it's not like they totally changed the offense, but they put some wrinkles in there. I love the wishbone because I've been screaming for Duke and Chubb to be on the field.
Or the inverted wishbone. You got to.
I'm sorry. Inverted, fair enough. I love that.
I got that correction, so my bad.
I like the trick plays they tried. I know neither one worked, but I like that they did it.
What do they have to lose at this point?
Right.
Another game? Whoop-dee.
Yeah, and so it was great. And the backfield tandem they have is special. Nick Chubb is a special talent. There's no doubt. Duke Johnson's a really good player, but Nick Chubb, guys, this guy is special.
He's a star.
I think he's going to be a star, don't you?
I do.
It's exciting because we all – Baker, Chubb, Myles Garrett, and Denzel Ward are four guys drafted in the last 2 years that all appear to be huge hits, and we're so used to the high draft picks being disasters. You look at last year, you know, like, all right, Peppers we're still not sure about yet, but he doesn't – even the other high picks, Peppers and
Njoku,
like still – I still think there's a lot of potential with both of them. But Garrett looks like he's becoming a star. Ward becoming a star. Chubb's becoming a star. Mayfield's going to be a star. We don't know about Austin Corbett. The jury's out on him because he hasn't played at all.
We actually have to see Austin Corbett on a football field before we can judge
who
him.
Who was their second-round pick last year? I can't remember their second-round pick. They had three firsts. Who was their second-round pick? I'm just thinking, like, your top two-round picks for the last 2 years overall have been tremendous.
I'm not. Ogba? No, that was 2 years ago.
Kizer.
Oh, Kizer.
Gosh.
Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
So that was bad. But but you look at they've drafted, what, 8 guys in the first two rounds, which is absurd.
Yeah.
The last 2 years.
By the way, the Oakland Raiders are now following the Cleveland Browns model.
Right.
How funny is that?
But here's the thing. After all, we've made fun. We've laughed at all the – not laughed in a sad way. All the wasted early round picks. Mm-hmm. But here in the last 2 years, and last year Sashi Brown still. Seems so long ago. But in the last 2 years, of the 8 players they've drafted in the first two rounds, Garrett, Baker, Chubb, and Ward seem like they already are on their way to being stars. Peppers, Njoku are probably going to be solid players.
Role players.
Maybe more. I think Njoku could be more. Corbett, jury's out. And even to be fair to Kizer, the jury's out. He hasn't played enough. He was a disaster here. We'll see long term.
Not put in a position to succeed.
Right, right. But overall, the last 2 years, when the picks that matter the most, the first and second round picks, the record's pretty good. After years and years and years of being as bad as it could be in those two rounds, that's the difference. That's why they're headed. That's why they're finally trending in the right direction. And not a fraud 7-9 season with Brian Hoyer, who's not a real starting quarterback, when they got lucky and won some games. This is legit. Mm-hmm. This is not the win-loss record yet, but the optimism and the reality of great players in key spots is legit.
That's why they should not have to be forced to settle for a coach in January.
You're right. You're right. And that's
not,
why
we,
can't,
we
and
should
that's why
I
shouldn't emotionally hire the coach that wins a couple of games.
We should not end up with Mike Pettine 2.0 or Rob Chudzinski 2.0. They should be able to get their guy this offseason. Between the cap space and the young nucleus that's been assembled here, as well as the players that John Dorsey has brought in, the Jarvis Landrys, the Demarius Randles of the world, those guys, you include them in a mix, and you do have a very solid foundation going forward. What the Browns need? They need a little luck. They need their core pieces to stay healthy, not suffer any major injuries, and, you know, allow John Dorsey just to do what John Dorsey does, and that's go pick football players.
Yeah. And he's not going to get them all right.
No, he's not
going to. Nobody gets them all right.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Hubbard looks like that potentially could be a little
Chad
bit of a
Thomas,
miss there.
Third-round pick so far, not, you know, the guy hasn't played, but. But even you look at, you know, Callaway still got a lot of potential. Avery, Ratley.
Demarius Randall's
there.
Got a lot of Ratley, I'm sorry.
Ratley,
the kid
yeah.
from Texas that they got.
And even going, again, back to last year with Ogunjobi. So there's been a lot of good draft picks the last 2 years.
Joe Schobert's a draft pick, too. And
but just the last 2 years.
I know, but.
The winning percentage has finally been good after years and years of terribleness.
Listen, the philosophy of building the football team through the draft wasn't wrong. The problem was that they kept building it through the draft and picking the wrong freaking players
while
they did it.
That's right.
I mean, that was the issue. It wasn't the philosophy.
It was the execution.
It's always the execution. And that's why with what's going on in Oakland, you know, I'm kind of watching that a little bit.
Yeah.
Because John Gruden and Mark Davis are kind of taking a page from the Browns book and stockpiling all their draft picks. And if they're able to hit on their picks, that team's going to be really good when they get to Las Vegas.
Yep,
but if they don't hit on those picks, then all these trades that they've made to collect all these assets doesn't amount to much of anything.
Yeah,
that's been the Browns' problem. You
well,
go back to the mid-2000s,
early
2000s, 2012, 2013, every year they had two first-round draft picks. They had nothing to show for.
Well, you think about it. You traded Trent Richardson for a first-round pick. It was a brilliant trade. And they wasted it because they took Johnny Manziel.
Right.
So it doesn't matter. You know, now what's next? The Browns will get a couple of days off here. When do they get back to work, Daryl?
They'll be back next Monday.
Okay, so a full week off.
Yeah, so they're getting a full week off. Guys that need treatment, they'll still be in the building this week getting their treatment and whatnot, but there's no practices or required meetings or anything like that.
Do we know Do we know if Baker's staying in Cleveland?
Well, based on his response yesterday, I think he might leave town for a couple of days and then come back, which that's fine.
He doesn't go to Vegas.
Wearing a blonde wig and a mustache and glasses and calling himself Billy.
Yeah, right.
This was actually real nice of Greg Williams to do. They gives him an opportunity to kind of get out of town for a couple of days, reset themselves mentally, physically, rest up a little bit so that they can come back next Monday and really hit the ground running and get through these final six games that are left on the schedule.
The players were pretty motivated by that.
Yeah, think?
He dangled a carrot in front of them like, hey guys, you win this football game, you're getting a week off.
I told you, he's a master motivator. That's why he's the interim head coach.
And did you see the video of Baker after the game with Greg?
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't have done that for Hugh Jackson.
Oh, no, sir. He would not have. No. I'm pretty sure he didn't. He didn't do it after the Jets game. That didn't happen after the Jets game.
No. That's a good point. Like Greg Williams said, every player, every coach, every staff member involved, we're getting a game ball. And they're going to put Believe on it. That's cool.
Believe.
Take it week by week and see what happens.
Believe that you can go out. We've learned what we know about this team already is that they're good enough to compete with anybody. The questions that remain resolved are do they have the ability and enough talent to actually get over that hump on a regular week in, week out basis?
I don't know that they can compete with everybody. Maybe not these super elites. But
the majority of the
league. You're right. They competed with the Saints, and the Saints have won 8 in a row.
Right.
So
let's be honest about it. The super elites of the league, maybe what, top six teams?
Not even.
Okay. So from team number 7 ranking in the league all the way down to 32, okay, they can play with those
guys.
Yes. Whereas a year ago, we're sitting here saying they can't play with the bottom 5 in the league. So they've taken steps forward.
No doubt. Definitely.
And that's why I think these final 6 games are going to be fun. There's no pressure to win, okay? Nobody expects them to win. They don't have to win. A coach's job is not on the line anymore. So the coaches aren't coaching that way, which I think happened early in the year where Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley, they're coaching like their jobs depended on it. So they were all tight and whatever, spiting each other or however you want to phrase that particular situation, a.k.a. the internal discord. But there's none of that now. They can play real loose and free, and it's fun to watch. I mean, They lost last week, but that was still a, you know, in some respects, there were stretches of that game where it was fun. They've scored 7 offensive touchdowns in 2 weeks. They've gone months where they haven't scored 7 touchdowns, yeah. And that is months with an S at the end where they don't score 7 offensive touchdowns. They've done it in 2 weeks already.
Right.
That's impressive.
What have they done, Daryl, that's different that you've seen? I mean, with the offense, like, we heard it's more open, it's loose. But what do you think Freddie has done? Like, what was the number one thing you believe he did that makes it look, that makes a difference, I guess?
I think that he's talking to his players and saying, hey, this is what's in this system. This is the library that is at our disposal. These are the things that we can do. These are the concepts that we can run. What are you comfortable with? Duke Johnson, what do you like here in the playbook? Where do you like to catch the football? Okay? Nick Chubb, what blocking lanes do you see here in this scheme that you think you can hit home runs in? Baker Mayfield, you know, what helps you see better down the field or allow plays to develop down the field and keep your jersey clean? He's been sacked, what, twice in 3 games?
Yep.
He wasn't sacked yesterday at all. Granted, okay, people say, well, the Falcons aren't exactly a pass rush team. Bottom line is, the Browns gave up a lot of sacks to a lot of really not good pass rushing teams earlier in the season, and he came away from that game clean. So I think that, and Greg touched on it today in the conference call, I think it's the communication with the players and kind of giving them some feedback and some input so that they own the offense a little bit and they empower the players. And I think that that's what the good teams do, Dustin, is they empower their players to participate in the preparation rather than standing up in the front of the room and telling a group of 90 grown men, here's what we're going to do Sunday. Yeah. I think there's something to be said for that.
Daryl, was that the best post-game press conference you've heard from a player since you've covered the Browns?
Baker? That was great.
I mean, he's got like this charm about him that he's funny, he's smart, he does a good job interacting.
Cocky.
Yeah, but he's not
But he's
too
not
much.
A jerk
not,
about
not
it.
Not too much, not the defo- yeah. not the, he doesn't rub you the wrong way.
No.
You
know? No, not at all. I really like Baker, and the more I'm around him, uh-huh. the more I watch him, the more I observe of him, the more I talk to people about him, the more you really, really like the guy. I think he got a real bum rap leading up to the draft with some of the stuff.
Told you
that
the
was
guy
said
was special.
Written.
No one wanted to listen to me. Mm. Damn you guys.
Wasn't there a local reporter comparing him to Johnny Manziel?
There was. I can confirm
he
that.
He took it back, though. He took it back.
Yeah. It was stupid at the time.
It was.
Anyway, speaking of the draft, by the way, guys, you know, I know you talked a little draft when I was out Friday, Dustin, and when you left early on Thursday, Daryl came on with me, and we were talking about the fact that this is going to be the first, I'm sorry, next offseason will be the, not this coming offseason, but the offseason after the 2019 season.
So the 2020.
The 2020 offseason will be the first offseason since we've been on the air that we won't be looking for a quarterback or a coach.
Yeah.
Every other year we've been looking for either a quarterback or a coach.
So you
coach
saw my tweet
both.
Then, right? About the
I did.
I tweeted we're finally talking draft.
Oh, that
we're
I
not
saw.
Not talking
yes.
about a quarterback. We're talking
right.
about a receiver.
But there have been a couple of other years that we weren't talking about a quarterback, you know. But those years we were talking
Johnny,
about coach.
We weren't.
No, I think that year we were already. Really? We were already giving up on Johnny.
Were we really?
Kind of.
Won that game against the Niners,
yeah.
remember?
After and Brandon Whedon's first year, we weren't talking quarterback because we thought he had a chance.
So what happened with Johnny is he had that game, a good game against the Niners.
Yeah.
They win. Then, like, the next day, he went, like, AWOL or something, right? Like, it all spiraled out of control.
Right, so we were kind of...
Then they had the Billy Manziel thing.
They weren't going to draft a quarterback that year, but we were already thinking about it.
Yep.
And every other year, they've needed a coach. But, yeah, guys, like, this year, it's just going to be a totally different experience in this draft because quarterback's not even on the radar at all. Like, they are not drafting a quarterback at all.
Unless they draft someone in the 7th round.
Yeah, but who cares about that? Yeah, right.
But no, here's why you should care about that, though. Because, and I've had former GMs and current GMs that are still in the league tell me that the reason you do that is you're developing an asset. Because even a backup quarterback, a quality backup quarterback that you have on your roster for a couple of years, that's an asset you can move.
Yeah, well, but what are the odds of getting a quality quarterback in the 7th round?
But that's the extent. But what you're saying is you're not thinking at the top end of the draft that's something they have to address.
Like, this truly, like, We go into the draft, like, really, you should be thinking, okay, who's the best player on the board when I'm drafting? And the Browns can really do that.
Yes.
You're not going to draft a quarterback in the first round. You're not going to draft a running back in the first round. You're not going to draft a tight end in the first round, if only because you're picking somewhat high probably still. Right. But anything else, they could draft a wide receiver, an O-lineman, or anything on defense.
Wide receiver, offensive lineman, linebacker, defensive tackle, another cornerback.
Safety, whatever.
Safety. It's wide open, best player on the board that's not a quarterback.
I just Googled like the first mock draft I could find, and they have the Browns taking Greedy Williams, cornerback from LSU.
Ooh,
I like that name.
Get greedy. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, like, what if, you know, they could draft a corner to kind of pair with Denzel.
Hmm?
Or another pass rusher, maybe. You know, you'd never have enough good pass rushers.
And you can never have enough good corners either.
Tweet today, and it's a good idea. The Browns need to start working on a contract extension for Demarius Randall, like, now.
When's his contract up?
I think this is
year three for him.
But he's young,
and he's got one. Yeah. I think he's got one more year. So I'm pretty sure they can do the contract extension next year. They're allowed to do it next year. Per the
CBA. I got it.
Because he was not a first round pick, which
he
means it's
first a first round pick. D.
His contract is up after next season.
Yeah.
Wow, he gets a huge salary jump next year. So he's only making $1.5 million this year. Next year he makes $9 million. Yeah, I would try to re-sign him after the end of this year and try to restructure that so you're not paying him $9 million.
Well, you got $50-plus million in salary cap.
Well, but still, you don't want to pay him $9
million. You're not worried about cash out of pocket right now. Cash out of pocket right now is actually more beneficial to you.
Because it's going to go up in a few years.
Well, I'll give you Jamie Collins' contract is the prime example.
Can they get out of that?
Yes, they paid him. Once this season is over, he will have received all $26 million of the guaranteed dollars in that contract.
They cut him after this year.
And they can cut him. Yeah. And I believe, just off the top of my head, I think they take maybe a $2 or a $3 million salary cap penalty for that. But they can get out of that thing in March. So
there's not a lot of big contracts on this team.
No, there are not. And remember, you have Baker Mayfield, who's on a rookie contract.
Kevin Zeitler has 3 years left at $32 million. He's still really good, though.
Joel Bitonio, they paid really well. Yeah, he got extended. Christian Kirksey.
That Hubbard. Can they get out of the Hubbard contract after this year?
I have to look at
Zeitler, they can get it out after next year, although right now you don't want to get out of that contract because he's
a
player.
I mean, you know, this offensive line, we've seen improvement in the last couple of games.
I still don't love either. I still don't love the tackles.
The tackles aren't great, but my point is they're at least playing better.
But I'd be looking to replace both of them.
Absolutely.
Frankly.
Without question.
Chris Hubbard, they could get out of his contract after next year. So he's going to be on. He's going to be on for next. Man, they signed him to a 5-year deal.
Yeah, he got paid well.
Yeah, they can get out most of it after next year. Which they probably will if his play doesn't improve.
But yeah, you want front-loaded contracts so that if the players don't work, the thinking is when you have a ton of salary cap space to play with.
Yeah.
You want to front load the cash part of that contract so that you pay them up front, and if the player is a bust, you can get out and you're not hamstrung by it, and the player already got paid. So that was one of the good things that Sashi Brown actually did do.
Right.
We'll give him credit for that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.